Amen. Thank you, guys. Please be seated. All right. Whew. Well, the year was 2002. It was 2002, and I had been sick with malaria again. We were deep in the jungle in Uganda, and we'd been there for a number of years, and we'd adopted two boys, Isaac and Thomas, and we were so excited, and I'd just come off having malaria again, and I knew that day, I'd been praying, and I knew that day, our daughter was out there. We just had to find her. So I got up, told Julie, it's not the malaria speaking. We need to boogie, hun. We need to go and find our girl. And it's important that we find her today. And I'd been praying. I just knew. And so we went out and we went to the first place that we go, and a baby's home that was near us, and there were no girls. And my mom had already said, because she'd had a number of grandchildren by that point from my brothers and our two boys that we had adopted. And I could just hear her words ringing in my ear of, Shorax can't even adopt girls because she had only grandsons and no granddaughters. And we'd gone, and there was no girls at this baby's home. And I knew our daughter was out there. So we called Mama Jackie about 3 hours away, and sure enough, they had boys and girls, and they told us about this one little girl. And I'll never forget it. That she had been struggling, that with her health, that she was basically sent home a little while before then to die at the baby's home, because she had been taken to the hospital and they couldn't get her to eat and keep anything down. And so they thought, you know what, let's have her be in a place where she's loved, where she can be cared for. And so they sent her back to the baby's home to die. And but there was a woman there who was breastfeeding twins. And it turns out that Alexia was unable to keep milk down, and they were just doing cow's milk. And so they tried with a woman breastfeeding her twins, and sure enough, she was able to keep something down for the first time in a long time. And then after a few days of that, they tried her they had a half a can of soy formula. And a team was coming later with some more soy formula, but they had this half a can, and they got her on, and they had her there. And she told us, Mama Jack told us about this little girl, and so we went to go see her, and out of 60 babies, about 30 boys and 30 girls, she only brought out one, and it was Alexia. And I knew in my heart that was my daughter. I knew that was my daughter. And the joy and the, man, when you see your child for the first time, it's pretty special. It's pretty special. Today, we're looking at the secret of life, which is, how do we know the will of God? How do we live out the will of God? How is it that we can come and experience life in a way that we're in God's will and we know it, and there's pleasure and joy and peace from being in His will? We're looking at James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. Man, I love God's word because it's so, and I love the book of James because it's just so point blank in your face. It doesn't mince words. There's no poetic language in the book of James. It just really just smacks it and says it point blank. And it's so important for us to really have a grip of what's being said here as we look at knowing and doing God's will. I've got some shocking news for us. Guess what? You and I, we're not God. We don't have the answers to life. We don't have the thing that's going to make not only purpose for our lives. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's coming. We have no clue. It's always amazing to me as I look back at my life and I think of all the plans I made. All the plans I made that didn't come to pass. And all the things that God brought into my path that are such incredible blessings. And there's been a few times in my life where I sought God's counsel, where Julie and I together sought God's counsel, where we wanted to know what His will was. And so we went first to our knees before we went to the next step. And boy, I tell you, when you get to be in it from the beginning of His will and you're not kind of fighting against the will of God, it's wonderful. There's a joy, there's a peace, there's a pleasure in the process. But sometimes we don't get the pleasure of the process because we're trying to have our will in our way, in our time. We're trying to do things the way we want, the way we think is right and best, without seeking the counsel of God. And here, the key here in this scripture is the inability of people to know what their lives will be like in the future. We do not know what it's going to be like. And so there's a required, in a sense, humility from us. And when we make plans, we should acknowledge dependence on God. And it's more than just acknowledging with our mouth. It's not just saying, okay, God, may your will be done. There's a lot more to it than that. There's a dependence that brings a real peace. James began chapter 4 last week by talking about war with God and how we're at war with God and our hearts and when we battle against Him. And he ends it here with talking about the will of God. And knowing God's will. And the two things truly are related. When we're out of God's will, we become troublemakers. When we're out of God's will, not only are we doing things that don't lead to anywhere, we get on a path that is negative for us and those around us. You guys with me? Anybody been on those paths in your lives? I've been on too many of those side trails, going down into the ditch and living in. I don't want to live in the ditch. I want to be on the road moving forward in God's plan and will. And so often, because of my arrogance and pride, I get in the ditch and I just sit there for a while in the junk, in the muck, rather than being on the road for His plan for my life. God has a plan for each of us. And guess what? They're different. And that's a good thing. Because He's given us different gifts. He's blessed us in different ways. And there's real opportunities for us as we come into His plan to experience that blessing. He's a God of wisdom. As when Jesus was on this earth walking with His disciples and sharing and teaching, and guess what? The wisest person around was Jesus. It wasn't like, man, maybe we should talk to John or the wisest one is our Lord. The most intelligent one is our Lord. But not only intelligence, the wisest, the one who knows all. He's all-knowing and all-powerful. And guess what? He desires the best for us. One of the things I hear over and over is, if God is so loving, why have these things happened to me? You know why? Number one, because of my sin and the sins of others. because of our sin and the sins of others, there is so much junk to deal with. And there is consequences to the decisions that I make and that you make. And when I make a bad decision, it not only affects me and my wife and my children, but my church and my friends. And the list goes on. And so there's great consequences that happen from the decisions I make. Sometimes we look at the will of God as like this bitter medicine or bitter pill we've got to take. Well, I've got to follow the will of God. Oh man, I guess I should pray and seek as well. Instead of seeing it as a gracious evidence of his love for us. If God is all knowledgeable, all powerful, and loving, then his will is going to be better than my will. I can't tell you how many times I came to that place of making a decision, often small, sometimes big, and I didn't seek God's counsel. And instead, after I'd made a decision, I was like, God, please bless what I'm doing. Rather than, God, what are you doing? Can I join you? Those are two very different mindsets. They're so different. And one produces constant frustration and bitterness and disappointment. When we have expectations of what we want God to bless that we're doing, it's constantly these expectations that are not being met. When we go to the will of God and we're seeking his will, guess what? All of a sudden we know we're not in charge. The expectations go to a minimum, and all of a sudden we start depending on God more. Have you noticed when there's a health issue or something really big that you're struggling through, or a loved one's going through something? The dependence on God seems to be natural. It just happens. You don't have to try to depend on God. You need to depend on God. Wouldn't it be great when everything's going well if we could depend on God with that same kind of natural passion and pleasure? That is just, man, how do we grow in that? And I think we see that from it right here in God's word. I don't want to be a troublemaker by being out of God's will. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to be the one who's walking in his will. We all desire peace with God and with others. And it's hard to have it. It's hard to have it. Peace doesn't always come easy. You know, one of the things, I was watching something on the news, and it was kind of a little documentary thing, and it had some information and kind of a side program, and it was talking about right now with our young people, one of the number one reasons of why our young people are struggling with depression and suicide is fear of the world literally dying. Fear of everything collapsing. And yes, we're called to take care of our world, and yes, but guess what? God is in control. God is in charge. And so we can work and be good stewards like we were called by God to do, to be good stewards of what's been given to us. But also to not live in fear. We don't have to have us or our children live in fear of what's to come. No matter what it is, we can trust God. We can know what he's doing. And there can be a real blessing that we experience. I don't want to be the troublemaker. I want to be the peacemaker in the will of God in my life and help others in that area. One of the examples that really came to me as I was studying this, I was looking at so many different characters from Scripture, and we could have 100 people that I talk about right now that struggled with the will of God. Why? Because we all struggle with it. It's common to mankind. It's common to all of us. And all of God's people in the stories, there's always the struggle with his will. But as reading through Jonah, it's such a quick book. You can read through it in a few minutes. And so I read it over and over and over again this week. And different things, each time I read it through, different things really jumped out at me. And Jonah was, he's an interesting cat because he's this guy who, he's a prophet. He speaks for God. And so I don't, back in that day, when you saw a prophet coming, often it wasn't good news. And so often when prophets come, the people are like, oh no, let's get out of here. Here comes a prophet. We don't want to hear about the judgment of God, the wrath of God. But Jonah was given a little bit different job. He was told to go to Nineveh, a gigantic city. It took 3 days to cross Nineveh by foot. It's a huge city. Hundreds of thousands of, more than like 100,000 people in the city, this huge city. And before we wondered how could a place that big not be known through our archaeology, and sure enough, a little while later in our past, we found it, and we, man, there's all this evidence. I love when our modern day science catches up with the Word of God. But one of the things that was so incredible was he was called to go to Nineveh, to a people that were just beyond evil. They had perfected ways to be cruel to others, and they just ruled and destroyed. It was unbelievable the evil that they did to others and to their own. And he was called, God said, I want you to go to Nineveh and share the good news. Share the truth about who I am. Give them an opportunity, because otherwise they're going to perish. And Jonah's like, it's good they perish. They deserve to perish. So he catches a boat going the other way, because he doesn't want to do the will of God. He doesn't want to be in God's will. And so he catches the boat going the other way. And we see with Jonah this life of sure enough, as he's going there, there's a big storm, and all these guys on the boat are struggling, and what do we do? And finally they pick lots, and it falls to Jonah, and he's discovered as the guy who's not honoring God. So they try and help him out, but no, finally they have to cast him over the side, and the storm dies down when they do, and then God sends a big fish and it swallows Jonah. And for 3 days, what a picture of the love of Christ. And that picture of 3 days. And that picture of death and coming back. And man. But the fish spits him back. Where do you think it spits him out? Nineveh. You know, there's something interesting about God's will. It's God's will. And so he's going to either work with us or work through us. When he works with us, we get to be his hands and feet. When he works through us, we still get to be his hands and feet, but it's a lot harder. Because he's a loving God, and he loves his children. And when we become children of God, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and become children of God, guess what? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And as any good loving father would do, he says, I want to teach you. I want to help you. I want to bless you. I want to show you what it means to be a woman of God, what it means to be a man of God. And so he allows us to go through, and he brings us into situations. And then we have that opportunity. Do we trust him, or do we do it ourselves? And when we trust him, there's great blessing. And when we're troublemakers, man, the consequences are pretty immense. Psalms 33:11 says, But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. I love that. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. In other words, God has a plan. He's not on plan B or C or double Q. He's on plan A. It wasn't a surprise when Adam and Eve blew it. That wasn't like, okay, we got to readjust. Jesus, Holy Spirit, what do we do? I don't know. Jesus, why don't you go down and do something? It wasn't like, how do we deal with the problem? From eternity past to eternity future, it's been God's single plan. And we get to be involved in it. The will of God comes from the heart of God. Not only is he interested in our hearts being drawn to him, he has his will come from his heart, which means it's good will. It's good plans. His will is expressed in his love, so we don't have to be afraid of his will. Have you ever been kind of in a place where you're praying and you're like, God, please don't call me to do something difficult here? Guess what? If it's his will, he will give you the strength. He will give you what you need. He will never give us more than what we can endure. We can be so thankful for that because he knows our limits. Guess what? We don't have a clue. We don't have a clue of them. I remember when I was at college and I was rowing crew. The thing I loved about crew was you get to that place, they call it the wall, where you can't go any further. And then something for some people snaps inside of you. And all of a sudden, you break through the wall and you've got more strength and more power. And you're going and you're going and you're going. And just that, you go from that moment of, I can't take another stroke, to, man, just invigorated. It's like the picture of God knows where and how far, and he can push us. And then we come to that place, and he gives us, it's not our strength, he gives us his strength to endure and to push through the walls of life. And to bring just blessing not only to our lives, but those around us. But there's a few things that can get in the way. And we see it here. And in verses 13, 14, and 16, we see here of James 4 ignoring God's will. Ignoring it. Like Jonah, I'm gonna put it here and I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to go my way. I'm just going to not pay attention to it. Pretend that it doesn't exist. Why is it so foolish to ignore God's will? Because if he's God and it's his will, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Think of all that is involved in life today, tomorrow. Buying things, selling things, that just the everyday life, going from here to there, point A to point B. Life is made up of all our goals and activities and plans and what we want to achieve. And life is full, isn't it? There's a lot in it. And each of us must make crucial decisions every single day. And guys, some of the crucial decisions look really big, and you know they're big. Some of the crucial decisions that we make are small ones. Where am I? Where am I spending my time? Boy, how big is that? How big is that? For all of us who struggle in different areas of life, if we put ourselves physically in places that we will be challenged with our weaknesses, guess what's going to happen? We put ourselves there. We don't have accountability. We've already, just by putting ourselves in the wrong place, we're going down the wrong path. And within moments, our hearts are drawn to our will. You know, if you're struggling with gossip, and you call up that friend that, every time you call up that person, you guys are going. Did you hear? I didn't know that. Well, there's even more to the story. I don't know if this is right, but I heard through the grapevine. Through the grapevine. Who is the grapevine, by the way? I'm just curious who's the grapevine. You know, we've already put ourselves in places where we're going to struggle. For the alcoholic, I'm just going to go hang out with my friends at the bar. Not the best decision. Those small things, those where we start, man, and it can be big things, it can be small things. But to be in God's will, we can't be ignoring what he's saying to us. And how does he speak most to us? Through his word. And also through his people. And so I want to encourage you, if you're seeking God's word and seeking counsel from those who are further along in their walks with him, and they're giving you consistent counsel, if we don't listen at that point and humbly, prayerfully seek more counsel and seek his word, we're going to have to pay for bad decisions later. And good news is, guess what? We're forgiven. God forgives us for our sins. The bad news is that doesn't stop the natural consequences from the bad sin. Doesn't stop it. 13, 14, and 16 say, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that, spend a year here, there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while." Verse 16. "As it is, you boast in arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil." Guys, 2 often, if I'm honest with myself, I can look back and see time after time after time where I was extremely arrogant, where I really believed I had the answer, where I knew what was best. And when we do that, it is truly evil, because we're saying, "I'm God for this." Because what was it with Adam and Eve? It wasn't the fruit. It was saying, "I get to be the one who decides what's right and wrong for my life." And we're doing the same thing today when we're out of his will. "God, yes, your word says this. I don't care. Honestly, it's too hard. It costs too much. I don't get to do what I just don't care. I want to do it my way. I'll ask for forgiveness later." Remember, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. With God, it doesn't work that way. Because the reality is, we do ask for forgiveness, but there's still the natural consequences. Yes, we are forgiven, but there's still the real consequences of the sin. And they're real, and they're sometimes life-changing. Each of us must make many crucial decisions, but when we bring God into that prospect, there's real blessings that take place. Another reason for it's foolish to ignore the will of God is the uncertainty of life. The uncertainty of life. The first one is the complexity of life, how complex it can be, all the different stuff. The second one is the uncertainty of life. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring." The uncertainty of life. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. See, it's talking here about these business guys that were making plans for the whole year without seeking out God's will. Is there anything wrong with being a successful business person? Nothing wrong with that. Praise God, you get to bless yourself, bless the people around you. You can hire people, you can bring in more. There's a lot of blessings that can come from that. But when you do it apart from God's leadership and seeking his will, you might be successful in this world, but you're going to miss out on all the blessings of real life, of what really matters. And these men were so confident, "We will go, we will stay a year, we will buy and sell and make profit. This is what we're going to do." Their attitude reminds me of a farmer in the parable from Luke 12. It says, Luke 12 in verses 16 through 21. That's a parable. And Jesus, and he told them this parable. Jesus did. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones, and there I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God." Just think about that. We can be so successful in this world and miss out on true riches, eternal riches. Some of the most wealthy around the world, we need to be in prayer for, because they're poor. They're dirt poor, eternally speaking, in what really matters. They don't know Christ. And so everything that they're building up for themselves will be gone, because you can't take it with you. What was God's reply to the man, this man boasting? He says, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you." Life is not uncertain to God. God knows exactly what's going on. He knows what's happening today. It's like all of eternity, the kind of way I pictured is all of eternity, and here's this little timeline that we're on in the midst of all of eternity. And it's all present to God. Now, that's not necessarily biblical. That's kind of my understanding, so don't take that as biblical. But that's kind of just a viewpoint I have of how he sees it. Only when we are in his will can we be confident about tomorrow. Guys, think about that. When you are in God's will, you can be confident about tomorrow. That means you can be confident about how you approach it. You can have joy and peace about how you're approaching what God has called you to do. Think about, we have a world that's searching for peace. And here God is giving peace. Another reason for why it's foolish to ignore God's will is, we see in the second half of verse 14, is the brevity of life, that the shortness of it. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. As we look at it as years and all this time, have you noticed every year you get older, time goes a little faster? Are you guys experiencing that too? You blink and you're no longer 30, and then you blink again and you're no longer 40, and you're like, wait a second. And then you look in the mirror and you're like, who's that guy? I don't know him. Man, time goes so quick. Julie and I went to a couple of birthday parties this weekend, and last night we went and I got to see some old friends and some who I hadn't seen for a long, long time. And one of them I know I knew, but I couldn't place it. Another one I knew, but it took me a moment. I was looking at him. He looks familiar. Oh, my goodness. It's a buddy of mine that I had seen for 30 years. Right? Man, time goes so fast. So fast. This is one of the themes that's repeated in Scripture. To us, life seems long, and we measure it. But comparison to eternity, we're but a mist. We're but a mist. Right now, right today, Kane Tanaka is 116 years old. He's the oldest man living today, right now. 116 years. Born in January 1903. That means the oldest living person is no longer from the 1800s. Now the oldest one is from the 1900s. Man. All of a sudden, 116, that sounds like forever. A blink of an eye. A blink of an eye. We don't have a lot of time to make the most for our Lord. And we want to use it wisely. The last thing I can think of, another reason of why it's foolish to ignore the will of God, is our frailty. We are not invincible. Verse 16, as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such evil is boasting. We boast in ourselves. We puff ourselves up because we think we are invincible. We have the answers. We know what to do. Man's boasting only covers up. Our boasting only covers up our weakness. We can't control future events. I mean, how much can you control? When you really think about it, it's very little. So how foolish is it for us to ignore God's will? Man, it makes perfect sense that we go to His Word. We go to His Word. We seek counsel. We stay focused on the things that matter for eternity. That means how much of what we do and live for do we need to say, maybe I should just stop focusing on this in my life. Maybe my life would be a lot more whole, that I would find a lot more pleasure if I started focusing on the things that mattered to God. I want you guys to be thinking, what's one thing in your life that takes up a lot of time, that if you set that down, what's one attitude that you have? What's one friendship? What's that you've allowed that relationship to be about where it controls you, where emotionally everything about that relationship just knocks you around for a loop? How do we get these areas and bring them to the foot of the cross so that we can have relationships with people but not be defined by those relationships? So that we can have the things of life that God calls us to and lay down the things that take us away from what He's calling us to. If you guys are on a journey to a place you've never been, say somewhere in the jungle or somewhere kind of shockingly different from what you know, and you've got a guide who's showing you the way, really, the message that matters most for your survival there is stay close to your guide. Because we are called to stay close to our guide. He will show us the way through the trials, the jungle, whatever it is, whether it's a plant jungle or a city jungle. He'll show us the right path through. Stay close to Him. Ignoring God's will, disobeying God's will, and last, the option is obeying God's will. I don't want to ignore it. I don't want to disobey. I want to obey God's will. Verse 15, it is the Lord's will. It is the Lord's will. It's not just a statement on our lips. I'm doing it in the name of the Lord. Now I get to do whatever I want. Man, if all I have to do is say, in the name of the Lord, I get to be selfish and have all this for just me in Jesus' name. It's not about the lips and what's the words coming off. It's what's in the heart. And what's in the heart will eventually come where? Out of the lips. Because we can fool ourselves and others for a little while, but pretty soon we start spewing what we're living. Pretty soon the reality, we're not able to hide the lie anymore. The lie of the heart. And so how do we get to that place of really obeying? I want to end with this. Jonah, he comes to a place, he shares the word of God with the people of Nineveh. And to his horror, they receive it and repent. They just break down. For days, they just sackcloth and ashes and just, man, maybe God will have mercy on us. And what's Jonah's response? Oh, thank you, God. They repent. No, his response is, what? These are evil people, God. And he goes up on a hill and sulks. And he's complaining as he's looking down because it's hot. God provides a weed to grow and give him some cover from the sun. And then it dies. And he's like, and the whole book ends, this short book of Jonah ends with Jonah saying, I just wish I was dead. And the book ends. Talk about kind of a anticlimactic cliffhanger. It's like, what happened? What happened with the people? What happened with Jonah? Did he finally come to Jesus? No, I just wish I was dead. You see, we can be obedient with what we do outwardly. God's after our hearts. And when our hearts are not drawn to him, we can do the right thing and just be a pain to everyone around us. Well, at least I'm doing the right thing, unlike someone I know. And we can become just really ruthless with the word of God. When the heart isn't there and we're religious without faith, we become dogmatic and dangerous. But when God gets our hearts, we're not going to end up like Jonah on the hill saying, I just wish I was dead. You can hear his voice. It's not, I just wish I was dead. It's, I just wish I was dead. You could just feel this. Ah. What an awful place to be at the end of your story. Guys, we don't want to be at the end of our lives, at the end of our story, saying, I want to do it my way. God, you did it your way. I just wish I was dead. That bitterness comes from a heart that's not surrendered to him. Through the whole process, God brought him along, and he never got to the place where he was thankful that the people of Nineveh came to the Lord, that they repented of their sins. Guys, the person who hurt you most in your life, who is that? Now, would you be happy if they came to the Lord and God forgave them? Or would you be saying, but God, seriously, do you remember when? Let's have a little chat here down memory lane. You see, we tend to hold it and stir it and brew it, and we're just going, and man, God's after our hearts, guys. He's after our hearts. And so it's going to require us to put our pride aside, to humble ourselves before a loving God, to receive his love so that we can also give away that love to others, even those who don't deserve it. Guess what? Neither did we. Neither did we. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us deserved his love and forgiveness. And we can love others well with the right heart. We can seek out God's will and do it, even though it means forgiving people who have wronged us. And being free, here's the blessing of it, being free from the pain of those wounds. No longer being defined by those wounds. Now we're free. Now we get to have joy. We were crushed. We were defined by what happened to us. Now we're free. Now we get to experience life as God, and we get to have that blessing, and it can't be taken away because God is in charge. We're experiencing it from him and his truth of his word. We've got a new identity in him, and there's pleasure and passion of life that we get to experience, and we don't have to live in fear or anger or bitterness. Now we get to be emotionally, spiritually, physically, relationally whole. Maybe not physically. But guess what? One day we will be. One day, whatever form we take, we will be whole. And that's good news. I got to tell you, the older I get and the more I creak around a little bit more, man, I'm looking forward to that day when there will be no more creaking, when I won't sound like my dad every time I sit down. Oh, yeah. And that same sound when I get up. Oh, yeah. Right? Every once in a while, I'll sit down in Ron's office, and he'll be like, woo! That's good, pretty good sound you made. You're creaking like an old man. Whew. One day, we will be whole in every way. Psalms 119:54. Just listen to this. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge, no matter where I am. Your truth, your decrees are the theme of my song. Your truth fills me with the pleasure of the song. And what do songs do? They invite us in. I can be so tired where I can't move another muscle. And I come in and I hear a certain song, especially if it's an old 80s song, one of those that I loved as a kid. And I hear that old 80s song. All of a sudden, I'm ready to go running, maybe not running, but I'm ready to do something. All of a sudden, I'm like, and I'll start dancing for a little while, and okay, that's good. I'm good. Man, I couldn't move, and now I'm dancing. Why? The new song, the pleasure. And we get to have that. Decrees are like God's truth, God's word is like that song that fills us fresh and new. And now we're whole, and now we're energized. And that's how we were meant to live. Not in fear, not in shame, but in freedom. And we experience that freedom through the forgiveness, through the wholeness of being in Christ and being renewed by the truth of his word. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Father, we love you back. Thank you for loving us first, Lord. Thank you for calling us. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, Lord, that they would seek you out, Lord, that they would have heard your Holy Spirit speaking to them from your word here today. Lord, that they would reach out and say, Jesus, I choose to make you my Lord and Savior today, right now. You are my God. I don't fully know what that means, but I trust you. I'm done trusting myself. Thank you so much that you forgive me of my sins. I give you this, everything I have, it's yours. Show me what that means over time. Lord, we pray for a blessing on each one here. Bless our homes, our families. Bless our loved ones. Bless our enemies. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.